you know, Gmail, and you know, if you've got peter.moriarty@gmail.com, or maybe it's sexyhoney69@gmail.com or something like that.
Those two are virtually interchangeable, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly.
Peter Moriarty, Sexy Honey. It's like same thing. It all goes to the same place.
Yeah, exactly. They all filter in the same one.
This is Super Fast Business with James Schramko. James Schramko. Helping you build your business super fast.
James Schramko here. Welcome back to superfastbusiness.com. And it's my great pleasure to introduce our special guest from itgenius.com. Welcome, Peter Moriarty.
James, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you inviting me on.
Now, we speak every week because I help you out with things in your business, and your business focuses particularly on helping people be more productive, and especially using Google products. So we're going to be talking about three different elements in particular over this series. The first episode is going to cover email, and the second episode is going to cover the flexibility of using some of the Google products. And the third episode, we're really going to get into productivity and to see how we can make our business more productive. I'm really excited about this series because I've been through this change with my own business, and it first started probably about 6 years ago. I think I switched from Windows to Mac, and that put me in this situation where I now had to decide, where do I go from Outlook? And of course, most Windows computers operators are going to be using Outlook, and Outlook's a pretty strong and powerful program, and I was well and truly indoctrinated into it, having used it in my last job as well. So I got to this point where there wasn't really a simple Outlook for Mac situation to take on, and I made the big switch to go to Gmail. And I've got to tell you, Pete, it was actually a lot harder than I thought in the beginning because of the way that they're so different. And maybe we could highlight a couple of the differences, and then I can let you know what happened.
Yeah, look, there certainly are some differences. Outlook is very popular in the corporate world, and also, I guess, in the small business world. And the big shift that's been happening over the last kind of 5 to 10 years is the consumerization of technology, and that includes business technology. So you've seen players like Dropbox and Evernote come in, and all of a sudden, small business owners and employees working in businesses have productivity tools that don't need an IT guy to set them up and run them. You know, they're able to just be installed all by yourself, and you can send a Dropbox link with some photos to mum or to grandma, and they can probably work out how to go to dropbox.com and download it and install it. You know, Google came along and they created this thing called Gmail, which was initially a consumer product, but it's now making the jump into small business and also into the enterprise as well. So lots of changes coming in that kind of space, and lots of businesses are now choosing Gmail over Outlook, which, as you said, is a bit of a jump. You know, there's some advantages of making the switch.
Well, let's talk about a couple of those advantages, some reasons why we might consider the change. Certainly in my case, one of the appealing things was that it was cloud-based instead of using an app on my computer. So I was able to release myself from being trapped by the laptop. Now, I'm sure some of these other solutions have got cloud-based versions now, but at the time, Gmail was in the cloud. That meant that my computer, I started to release it from being required to more of just a terminal situation. Now I could log into my email from any device, even if I was at an airport, and I'm not highly recommending that by any means, but if you needed to, you could log into your Gmail from anywhere. And the second thing is, there's more of a pro version, isn't there, Pete? And I think it was called Google Apps for Work.
Yeah, correct. So Google Apps for Work is the business version of Gmail. So the consumer edition is, you know, Gmail, and you know, if you've got peter.moriarty@gmail.com, or maybe it's sexyhoney69@gmail.com or something like that.
Those two are virtually interchangeable, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly.
Peter Moriarty, Sexy Honey. It's like same thing. It all goes to the same place.
Exactly. They all filter in the same one. So those are, you know, those are consumer mailboxes with Gmail. But the business version of Gmail, which is Google Apps for Work, allows you to bring your own domain name. So my business domain name, itgenius.com, I'm able to have my business email address there. So peter@itgenius.com. But it's all in the same interface. So when I sign into Gmail or Google Drive or Google Hangouts, or I use my Google Calendar and, you know, send an invite to someone, all of those applications, I'm using my business address. Now, this is different to what some people do, is they, you know, they use a consumer Gmail address, so an @gmail.com email address, and they forward their business emails into Gmail, and then they send as their business address from Gmail, from the consumer version. And that's kind of like a hack way to get the similar kind of effect. But what that happens is, you know, if someone sends you a calendar invite and you accept that calendar invite, well, the calendar invite acceptance that goes back to that person says your sexyhoney69@gmail.com account. So the Google Apps for Work is a paid product from Google. You know, it comes with support from Google as well. Depending on what part of the world you're in, you're probably going to be paying either $5 per person per month for the product, or $5 Australian if you happen to be in Australia, per person per month. And that gets you a mailbox, access to storage on Google Drive, Google Calendar, and that suite of business apps, which is what Google Apps is called. So if you've used Gmail before, it's exactly the same experience. It's the same apps, you're getting the same version, it all looks and feels the same, but you're getting your business domain name and a business address on there instead of a consumer Gmail address.
Right, so how many times have you followed a plumbing truck and it's got like, you know, fredsmith@hotmail.com, or or even worse, it'd be something like tedturner@bigpond.net. That is not a professional approach to business. So number one, first big tip, use a business name for your communications to the world. Secondly,
yeah,
I really like what you said there, Pete, is not doing the Band-Aid version, the one where you use redirects on your hosting or your cPanel, because what happens invariably with that is you're going to, firstly, you tend to run out of memory at some point where your emails stop working. That happens quite a lot. You may find that emails get stuck somewhere along the way. It's so much more powerful to use Google as your email server so that you're not pushing stuff through your own hosting account. Let your hosting account just be for your website. And I might add, the same applies for videos and audio hosting. Please use somewhere like Amazon or Libsyn for your podcasts, and use somewhere like Wistia or YouTube, another Google company, or Vimeo for your videos. Don't try and run all this media or email through your host. Keep it away from it. The other thing that happens, and we notice this a fair bit with the website hosting side of our business when we had it before we sold it earlier this year, is that when you make changes to your site or you move hosting, quite often people forget the whole email thing and it's quite inconvenient. So it's simply a matter of pointing your mail server at your host towards Google, and then they handle all your emails. So that's very simple to set up once, powerful, and you, for a very low cost, for that $5 per person per month, you're getting a very powerful email system. And one of the great things I like about Google is actually two. One is that they're incredibly searchable, which is no surprise when that is Google's thing, right? The best search algorithm on the planet.
Absolutely. They're the search kings.
So it is like this incredible archive of your emails, and you can search for anything. I just went in actually and searched for Peter when we started this call, and I found our show notes that we'd drafted. So I don't have to save it to my computer or have any system other than using Gmail or Google Apps for Work. And two is they're really good at managing spam. I'm getting a lot less offers for Rolex and Viagra and undiscovered rich gold, you know, gold bars that I can get access to because of an inheritance type of thing. So they have a very good spam filter and a way of deciding who should make it into your inbox and who doesn't.
Yeah. Well, if you think about it, Google have nearly a billion users on Gmail now. You know, some of our friends at Google told us the other day when we were around there. And, you know, if they have visibility into that many people's mailboxes, if 10 or 100 people mark an email message as spam that's gone out in a broadcast, well, it's pretty quickly going to pull it out of everybody else's mailboxes as well. So Google are able to do that. And I wanted to really quickly focus in on one thing you talked about there, which was the search. And if you think about, and this is to the listener as well, think about when you got your first email address, you know, probably in the mid to late 90s. And, you know, that email address probably had a really small limit on the mailbox size. So it might have been 5 megabytes or 10 megabytes or maybe a little bit more if you were using Hotmail. And if you remember that if too many of your friends sent you emails with attachments, that would fill up and, you know, bounce backs would start happening. You'd stop receiving your emails. And the way that we dealt with that was that we started to delete the emails that were kind of the junk from our mailbox, you know, so anything we didn't need to keep, we'd kind of delete, we'd do a bit of a string cleaning, and then we would drag and drop the important emails into folders. So drag and drop into folders, very manual process, delete, to try and keep that mailbox trim. One of the big advantages of Gmail is because the amount of data that you can put into Gmail is next to limitless, it means that you just don't have to worry about, you know, trying to keep your inbox trim just to keep it from working, keep it performing well. It's one of the advantages of overusing Mac Mail or Outlook, because with Mac Mail or Outlook, because they're apps that are installed on your computer, well, your computer's still doing the heavy lifting to actually, you know, make that email work, you know, to store your folders. And if you lose your computer and it wasn't properly backed up, or you lose the data and all those kind of things as well. Whereas with Google, it kind of frees you from having to manage that data side of the mailbox. Now, in my mailbox, in 8 odd years of running this business, I haven't deleted a single email that's come in. I've hit the archive button and I've moved them out of my inbox, but I haven't deleted a single email. And so there's about 26 gigabytes of email in there, which sounds like a lot. Well, in the real number terms, it's 250,000, which is a huge amount of email. But I can still run a search for emails back in 2011 and it's going to show up for me instantly because Google's doing the hard work for me in that searching. So even on my mobile device with the Gmail app, it works in the same way. And if you've ever tried to search for an email, you know, maybe in Outlook or maybe in the Apple Mail app on your iPhone, and it said, nope, computer says no because, you know, or it's crashed, or Outlook said, no, sorry, I have to re-index. You know, all of those challenges come up when you've got a large amount of email. And for us as business owners, we don't really want to delete our email because, you know, in a year's time, a customer might come back to us and say, hey, well, can I have the same price as last year? You promised me something on email and I'd like the same deal. Or maybe someone comes back and says, well, I want to sue you for something you did 2 years ago. You need to keep a record of all of these emails. And the irony is that our staff and our teams who maybe change jobs from year to year or once every couple of years, they get a fresh mailbox each time. But us as the business owner, we've got to keep all of that data. So Gmail has, you know, a really, really great way of keeping you productive by just allowing you to store as much as you need in there and not having to worry about manually doing some kind of archive to keep it nice and, you know, trim.
Yeah, it's very good. And you know, just prompted me to, you know, at least say this. If there's one password that you want to make sure is very, very secure, this is the one.
Yeah.
And that is because it's usually the centralized place where you have password resets. So I'm thinking about, whenever I delete things, it'll usually be a login or a password as a just in case, because I know that I can access it again. And I also like how it will send you an alert if a new device logs into your account, because of course you can install it on your phone, you can install it on your iPad or your computer, and you can access it from the cloud from any device, but it'll actually send you an alert. So it's very important to make sure you have a super secure login of all the passwords. This is one that I've committed to memory, and it is nowhere else. It's not used for anything else. It's not available anywhere. No one else knows it. And it's like the Bank of Switzerland, this one.
That's a very great point, James. And important that if this is the gateway to your business, in that this, you know, your Google Apps account, you know, manages the login to your Google Drive, which may have business data, financial data in there, may have access to, you know, setting up and adding or removing email addresses for the rest of your business. So, you know, the control over your team's email as well. It's really important to have that account locked down. And something that I can suggest is, if you do have a Google account, whether it's a consumer account or a business account, you must switch on two-step verification. And what two-step verification is it's similar if you've got a business bank account and they send you a little key fob in the mail, which is a little security tag. And when you log in, you've got to press a button on the tag and it gives you a little randomly generated 6-digit code. Google's got the same feature built into their account system for free on consumer and business accounts. And this is called Google two-step verification. So you can go and search that, Google two-step verification, and you'll find there's a little wizard on the Google website that you can use to set it up. Or we even have a little pretty link to make it nice and easy for customers to remember to go there. So it's itgenius.com google.com/security, and that'll redirect you to the Google page. Now, once you switch that on for your account, anytime you log into a new device for the first time with your Google credentials, with your, obviously, your Gmail account or your Google for Work account and your password, it's going to prompt you for a 6-digit code that either gets sent to you as a text message, or you can use a little app called Google Authenticator. And what that does is it locks down your account even if somebody gets access to your email address and password. Without that 6-digit code, effectively from your smartphone, there's no one getting access to your account. So that's an absolute must for all business owners, particularly if you're putting sensitive data in email or in your Google Drive as part of your Google account.
Great tip there, Pete. Another thing that I love about the way that Google Apps for Work works with your email side of things is the ability to use filtering and rules so that when an email comes in, there's intelligent logic and you can set this up. It can be who sent it. It can be some word mentioned in it. It can be any number of combinations, and then you can set it up to move emails out of your inbox and into a special label, and it can be multiple labels. That's what I like as well. So you don't have to be using the old folder thinking where it can only be in one place. And that was one of the biggest limitations I found on the old Outlook systems. And
yeah,
I've got a couple of examples of filters that I'm using because I've got a philosophy with your inbox that the only things that I want in my inbox are things that require me to take an action. Most other things shouldn't be taking up my valuable bandwidth or attention. So I've got things like a support label. So I'm getting copied in on my support desk tickets, but I don't have to deal with them because the team does that. But I can scan through and just see what's going on at our support center without having to leave my inbox.
Yeah.
I also have rules for any kind of word like refund, for example, will trigger a label refund. So that's when someone is asking for a rebate or a refund, or when I've got a refund coming back from something, I want it to show up. And then there's other ones like sales. Because as crazy as it'll sound, when you're making sales every hour or so, or more in some cases, certainly some of my students every few minutes, you don't need that coming into your inbox. It can be annoying after a while. It's very, very exciting at the beginning. But after a while, you want to be able to just click on your sales tab and see what's selling, you know, what's coming in, what's come through. Then you want to have other filters for things like unsubscribed so that you could perhaps follow up, even though that can be automated. I do have automations. I also want to be able to see who's unsubscribing, and then I can go and get some research or some feedback. Then there's other little filters like tools, any kind of recurring subscriptions we have for software tools, including the Google for business ones. They'll show up there because they don't require action, but they do require me to keep an eye on it.
Totally.
And we'll cover actually in one of our other episodes, we're going to get into productivity in the third episode, and we'll talk a little bit more about how you might go about doing this and what are some of the other things that you and I have discovered that make our life easy, because it's my genuine discovery that the thing that's holding most entrepreneurs back from being successful is they're just not managing their email very well at all. And both you and I have created courses on this because it's so important. You dial this in, you're going to be on track. So let's just wrap this up and see where we're at. The first main point is why we might consider using Google Apps for Work, because it's a very powerful brand with a solid system that is super able to be used on any device, that is easy to search, very well organized. It's both simpler and more effective, which is just amazing. You can have your strong business branding happening because you've got your own domain name and not some Hotmail account, and you can use it on any device. You can manage your email through Google Server instead of on your own hosting, which gives you a lot of flexibility depending on how you want to run your business. I mean, you could run your business from a Facebook page or a Wix website or anywhere. Now you're not dependent on having hosting and cPanel, which can be a problem for you. It's very secure with this two-step verification process that Peter's mentioned. And as you'll see in the next episode and the episode after that, where we're talking about flexibility and productivity, you'll see how all the other things that you get with Google Apps for Work can bring your business back to one centralized place, which for $5 per person per month is a bargain. I've got a fantastic story to share with you about a couple of other tools that I've used. I'm going to talk about why I've moved away from Dropbox and why I'm not using Evernote anymore and how Google solutions have actually replaced them for me. So the big move for me in productivity was to get into that Gmail environment and then to make it a professional version of it. So I'm looking forward to talking about the up and coming topics in the next few episodes. Pete, thank you for sharing this introduction module and giving us a basic overview. So the steps are, if you're on Outlook or if you're using an unprofessional name for your business, or if you're finding it very hard to manage your email and you're not currently using Google Apps for Work, that is the action step from this episode. Go and pick a domain that you'd like to run your email from. Where do you go, Pete, to get this going?
There's two options. You can go and have a crack at it yourself. You know, Google provide wizards and those kind of things.
That, by the way, that's Aussie for try and do it yourself.
Try and do it yourself.
Have a crack.
Yeah. And look, for most business owners who value their time and aren't super savvy with tech stuff, if the thought of DNS records or SPF records scare you and you don't have a weekend to spend on the phone to support, then we recommend you engage an expert to help you out. We can obviously help with that. Our whole business is helping businesses get onto the Google Apps platform and then help those business owners be successful by using it properly and help them to bring growth and change in the business. So, you know, we can help out as well.
And that's at itgenius.com.
That's right, itgenius.com. And even if you'd just like to learn a bit more about the product and what it does, we've got some videos, we've got some webinars, we've even got a podcast on there as well with lots and lots of information about using Google in your business and how that can help you be more productive.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. It's what I use to run my business. And we've had over 60 users on the platform. One of the best things in my business is this Google solution. So get that going before the next episode, because when we come back, we're going to be talking about all the other stuff you get when you get this Google Apps for Work account. And we will be able to show you how to make things a little bit easier for running your business. If you have a lot of users or you've got a complicated setup, then definitely get help from a professional. Thanks, Pete. I'm going to catch you on the next episode.
James, I look forward to it. Thanks very much.
Discover how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.